Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Man. Well, God's good, amen? Thank you, Mark. I think we'll continue in our series. What do you think? It might be a good idea. Let's pray. You know, coming to church can become routine. Have you ever noticed? Well, it's Sunday. I got to get up. Got to go to church. You know, got to take a shower, comb my hair, make people think I'm ready to go. But in all actuality, coming to church is probably, and hearing the Word of God is the most important thing you can do. And fellowship. Did you know that? Now, you got to be careful. You got to watch yourself. How many ever noticed that your body has ideas on things to do that your spirit doesn't? Have you ever noticed that? Thoughts, intentions, ways of doing things. I just don't feel like it today. I can't do it. Which is not true, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So some of you this morning, they'll probably need to tap into that a little bit and wake up and get yourself going and expecting. So that's what I want to do first thing. I want to pray, but I don't want to just pray in the sense of, okay, it's that time in the service where we all need to pray, okay? Because this is not a religious duty. This is a relationship that we have with God. How many know this, that God is never has a down day? Did you know that? He never has a down day. He never has, you know, if God did go to sleep, which he doesn't because the Bible says he doesn't sleep. But if he did go to sleep, he wouldn't wake up in the morning and go, oh, I got to do it again. These people, they're always whining at me. You know, God doesn't do that. You know that? You know, God never gets off emotionally. Wow, that's a thought, isn't it? Like, you say, what do you mean by that? God never is like, his emotions don't just go cattywampus all of a sudden. You know, you never have to wonder, what kind of mood is God going to be in today? You might have to do that with your spouse, but you don't have to do it with God. Amen? God is steady, steady, steady all the time. He is on go. He is focused. He is disciplined. He is just even keel all the time. People say, yeah, but I know I read in the scripture where he got mad. Yeah, but he was never out of control. See, we have our perspective on things, which is very natural, and it's heavily affected by the enemy. Have you noticed that? Satan is heavily affecting this world. He's heavily affecting people's emotions, people's thoughts, government structures, media, all these things. But God is not that way. He is even all the time. You know, in the worst catastrophe, you know what God is? Steady. Come on, think about Jesus. He's in a boat that's sinking. The disciples are doing what? Panicking. What's Jesus doing? Sleeping. Why? Because when you know God's with you, it doesn't matter how bad the situation is, because you know God's with you. You know you have the one with you that can turn everything around in a nanosecond. You understand what I'm saying? He can work everything for your good and his glory in no time. We just got to learn to cooperate with him. And our part is what? Our part is faith. And faith is not static. Faith is expectant. Did you know that? Faith doesn't sit back in a situation and go, well, I hope it works out. Faith is active. Faith is aggressive. Faith is moving forward and moving toward the promise of God rather than sitting back waiting, hoping something changes. Does that make sense? Faith is aggressive. It goes toward the promise of God. It expects God to move and do what he said he would do. You know, the scripture says this, that God is faithful and just, and that he watches over his word to perform it. But you know who God performs his word for, right? Those who are expectant of it to happen. Okay? So just practice this with me. I am not helpless in my situation. There is hope, and it's in God. Now say this with me, because people don't believe this. God is working for me right now. You say, what are you doing, Sean? I am getting your expector stirred up. I know exactly what I'm doing right now. And you know, it's interesting. If I can get you to cooperate with me, I can get you so wound up on the inside that you'll go, I guess this day's going to be all right after all. Even though they said there was going to be 10 inches of snow. How many more records do we really need to break? You know, I was thinking, let it rain, yes, but stop the snow. Just stop the snow. So when every day when you wake up, you've got to engage your faith. Does that make sense? How many have noticed this? That when you wake up in the morning, there are thoughts available that are opposite of God's thoughts towards you. You ever notice that? Half of you have, the other half, you're not telling the truth. How many have noticed that problems speak? Have you noticed that? Now, I'm not talking about audibly, but you guys know what I'm talking about. You have situations in your life that are talking to you. That's why Jesus spoke to the fig tree. The Bible actually says that the fig tree lied to Jesus. Did you know that? Trees don't talk. I mean, audibly, you understand what I'm saying? And if they do to you, you come see me after service. I will pray for you. Because they're not. But situations carry a voice. Have you ever noticed that? How are we going to, what is wrong with my oldest kid? And then a thought will come to you. Your oldest kid is messed up, man. He ain't going to make it. And then you need to respond. The Bible says that if I train my child up in the way that they should go, that they'll not depart from it. Situations and circumstances and life in general has a voice, and it is speaking. And if in faith, if you do not rise up and speak back and declare back and stand and use the promises of God, those situations will bury you. How many have noticed this? I've watched this through the years, not only in my own life and been aware of it, but as a minister. People allow circumstances to overwhelm them and bury them. And then as a minister, and as when Christians are strong, and this is what we're supposed to do as Christians, we end up digging that Christian out of the bury. And we'll get them stood up, and we'll get them excited, and we'll get them believing God, and we'll get them standing on their own in faith. And then a couple of weeks later, guess what happens? They've listened to the voices, they've listened to the enemy, and now the enemy has got them back where? In that hole underneath that pile. So then they come back to church. Come on. How many have seen this cycle before? If you've been in church for 10 years or longer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've been saved for any length of time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But see, actually, the ministry gifts and the goal of the ministry and church and fellowship and having ministers, pastors, all these different ministry gifts is designed to actually teach you to be so strengthened in Christ and the resurrection within you that when the enemy does come, you don't ever end up in the hole. You put him in the hole. And Jesus and the Word of God promises that. You are actually created to live in victory over the enemy through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? You were made, come on now, listen to me. You were made so that the gates of hell would never prevail against you. And those are not my words. Those are whose words? Jesus. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. How many here are born again? You got Jesus in your heart. You are the church. You have the ability within you right now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ within you right now, to be able to overcome each and every circumstance that you are facing. Now listen to me. I'm not trying to belittle the feeling that you have in the circumstance or the circumstance itself. I'm not trying to belittle the fact that it hurts or situations are difficult or situations are emotionally difficult. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to magnify the Lord and the promise so that the problem is in proper perspective. Amen? Jesus put it like this. He said, if you had a mustard seed of faith, how many ever seen a mustard seed before? It is tiny. He said, you could say to the mountain, be lifted up and put into the sea. Mustard seed of God can remove mountain of the devil. Does that make sense? And I'm not to my message yet. I'm just warming you up. I haven't even gotten the message yet. But there needs to be, when you come together, when you have a day, when you wake up in the morning, I heard a minister say this one time, and man, I thought it was good. But the first words out of his mouth, I thank you, Jesus, in the morning. Not, oh, snooze. Not, why? Come on. Am I just preaching to myself this morning? Not look in the mirror and go, oh, oh, what happened? Why does that happen when I sleep? Why do I look like that? You look in the mirror and you go, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will be sad, under the weather, depressed. I can't help it, God. It's so bad, you just don't know. Yeah, Jesus doesn't know. He just can't identify. Come on, you're listening to the enemy. I will, notice it's I will rejoice. I choose to rejoice. I choose God's way. And then, man, when you do that, you know what Jesus, I mean, God gets a smile on his face. Why? Because faith pleases him. When you get in the middle of a real tough situation and you go, devil, you think you got me, but you don't. I'm coming all the way through this. This mountain is so far in the sea, you don't even realize how it is blowing bubbles right now underneath the sea. And the enemy comes and he says, I'm going to tear you apart. I'm going to tear your family. I'm going to tear thee. And you say, no, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And love never fails. When you stand up in the middle of your situation, when you learn and operate in the principles of faith fighting, the enemy is in trouble every single time. And he, God, will see you all the way through. You'll make it. And you'll not just make it, you'll make it in grand style. Why? Because it's God that's leading the parade. You know what I mean? He knows what he's doing. So, as we move into the second part of this message this morning, let's expect from God. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Lord, we purpose not to be just passive listeners, but active listeners. Lord, hearing your words. Lord, your words are everything to us. They are bread. They are milk. They are sustenance to us. We eat of these words. They are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Holy Spirit, I just ask you for the proper words and illustrations. I ask you for utterance and boldness. And Lord, I will speak the truth in love, seasoned in love, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we apply your word, we know that your word says that we will be blessed. So we will not be hearers only, but we will be doers of your word in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said, amen. Okay, go over to John chapter 13. You know, when the worship team gets up and they strum the guitar or whatever they do first, play the keyboard, whatever they do on the inside and on the outside, you just ought to go, oh, glory to God, here we go. We're going to praise God this morning. And if it's a song you don't know, you can just, you know, kind of mouth it and say watermelon or something. But every once in a while, just say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because you're acknowledging him as your King and your Lord. Amen? So, this morning I want to get into, I'm probably not going to get very deep into this, but we'll at least get into some of it. And we're talking about filled with the fullness of God. We're talking about being full of God. And in my first message on this, we looked at the commandment of the New Testament. There's only one commandment. We also prove from the scripture that under the New Covenant, we do not need to worry about keeping the Ten Commandments that were given under the Old Covenant. Do you know under the New Covenant, you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments? Did you know that? Now, by default, because of the New Commandment, you will keep all ten. Okay? But you don't have to worry about keeping the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said it over and over again. If you want the details on that, you can go back and listen to the first message on the website. But under the New Covenant, walking in the love of God fulfills all the commandments that were given under the Old Testament to curb sin. This morning, I want to begin to look at how we gain understanding of this love and then talk about how we walk it out in our lives, in our day-to-day lives. Okay, I want to encourage you with this. Don't let this subject be too simple for you. Walking in a high level of love is the mark of maturity in the Christian faith. Walking in love is the difference between living under the blessing of God or not. It is the difference of your faith being effective or not. Literally, it is the difference between success and failure in your life, because the Bible declares that love never fails. That is a big statement. You do realize that. Love never fails. Fails? Never. Love has never had a failure. Wow, that is a huge statement. So plan to take the message to heart and apply it in faith to what you think, say, and do, and you will see your sensitivity or depth of relationship increase dramatically with the Lord, as well as his blessings increasing as well. So our golden text is John 13, 34, and it says this. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you what? Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35 says this, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Let's go to James chapter 2, verse number 8. James chapter 2, verse number 8. Similar scripture. I love that passage. I could comment on John 13, 34, but we just don't have time. We are to love one another as Christ has loved us. We are to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Say it with me. Say, I can love the way Jesus does. Ooh, this is going to be so gooder. All right, James 2, 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, notice it's the royal law, you shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you don't love you, your neighbor's in trouble. I just hate myself, and that's why I hate everybody else around me. And it's why you're crabby and your body's in pain and all that stuff. Amen. You might as well just say amen. Or oh me, one or the other. It's true nonetheless. If you don't understand God's love for you and you don't receive that love, how are you going to give it to someone else? You're not. You've got to understand and receive that love for yourself. Listen, we sing songs about how much God loves us, and people sing the songs, but they don't believe it. They mouth the words, but they don't believe. You've got to choose in faith. Remember, faith is aggressive. Faith expects from God. So you've got to choose in faith. I believe God loves me. God loves me so much that Jesus died for me. That does not change. You know, the Bible actually says that if God loved us while we were sinners, how much more now that we're sons and daughters? So you should walk around going, saying, much more. God loves me much more, much more, much more, much more. People will look at you and go, they're crazy. And you go, I am loved much more, much more, much more. God loves me much more. And when you do that, you begin to say that, you begin to believe that, your psyche about yourself, your mentality changes. And you begin to expect and believe God for things that you never would have before. Because when you know God loves you unconditionally, you know God loves you so much that he gave his son for you, what else is he withholding from you? Somebody say nothing. He's not. How many realize this? I've said it before. We're the problem in the equation. Not God, amen? If God didn't, you know, God is amazing. I mean, you think about his love and his mercy and all those things. But you think about those things, the stuff that he puts up with. Come on. You know, we're to love each other as Christ loved us. Think about what God's putting up with in all these people. I mean, the whole planet, the enemy is running ragged through all of it, doing stuff, and God's going, I still love them. There is nut stuff going on. You understand what I'm saying? And God says, I still love them. Isn't that just powerful? God loves us, and we are to love our neighbor as we what? Love ourselves. So, first thing this morning, I want to look at this. If you're taking notes, write this down. You have this love. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of my favorite scriptures. Verse 17. You have this love in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away. That's something you need to believe. You need to believe it passed away. All things have become new. Verse 18, first part. Now all things are of God. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 4. I want to show you something. So what's inside of you? What are the all things in you? What are they of? All things are of, what did that verse 18 say? All things are of God, right? So 1 John chapter 4, I want to show something to you. I'm proving to you, first of all, here that you have this love. You already have the love you need. Did you know that? You don't need to pray for it. You don't need to beg for it. You don't need to cry on the floor and go, God, please, please give me something. I'm going to kill this person. You don't got to do that. You, if you're born again, you already have the love of God in you. I'm going to prove it to you in more than one spot, but right here too. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. So we just read in 2 Corinthians 5, 18, that all things are of what? God that are in you. So all things have become new and all things are of God. 1 John 4, verse 8 says what? He who does not love does not know, for God is love. Now, let me ask you something. If all things in you are new, and all things are of God, and God is, then what do you have in you? Love. You have love in you. Not your love, not human love, not Hallmark love. Hallmark movie love. How many of you have seen a Hallmark movie? I feel sorry for you. Okay, so... Not that kind of love. Whose love is in you? God's. You know, some people think, I just got a shortage of love. No, you have a shortage of understanding. Because God is, okay, let's see it again. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 16. I think it's 16, yeah. Verse 4, verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." Whoa. That is a huge statement. What did John say? I know the love that God has for him. And what else? I have believed. Believed. What is John saying? You have to believe that God loves you. Choose to believe that God loves you. Amen? Choose to believe it. Now we'll get into the part where he can reveal it to you. And then the second part of that verse says what? God is, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. God is what? God is what? Love. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says what? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And verse 18 says what? And all things are of God. And 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:16 says what? God is love. You have all the love you need on the inside of you right now. You have all the love you need on the inside of you right now. Listen to me very closely, okay? Any relationship that you're in that has conflict, you have the resolution inside of you right now. Because God is love, and you are born again, and you have the love of God shed abroad in your... All right, let's look at it. Let's look at another one. Some of you are convinced, some of you are not. Romans chapter 5. Now the Bible says I can give you in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So I've already given you three. Now I'm going to give you four. And if I can't convince you with God's word, in other words, if God can't convince you, then I don't know what I'm going to do with you. I might have to put you in the snowbank outside for a little bit, then bring you back in. See, I'm just kidding. We don't waterboard at this church. So, no matter what we feel, we don't do that ever. Oh, hallelujah. God's good, amen? Romans chapter 5, verse 5. You know, you ought to be grateful we're teaching on this subject. I am telling you what. This kind of subject is like a multivitamin subject. It's a steak on the plate with potatoes subject. You know what I mean? A lot of times people are like, I want to go to church and eat cake. But if you just eat cake all the time, guess what happens? You get chubby and you get sick to your stomach. Right? But these kind of subjects, the love of God, when you understand it and walk in it, this is marathon running sustenance for the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? These types of messages are the messages that make marriages just go and go and go and never quit. Come on. They make you a friend that people want to be around. Why? Because they know that person's going to love me no matter what. And it causes growth and strength inside you that no other kind of subject can, because love never fails. I mean, I'm going to have this so in, people are going to look at me and go, you have a different personality now. I have a God. I posted this on Facebook. It kind of went a while, or kind of went a ways too. But I am not in crisis. I'm in Christ. My personality is not in crisis. I'm not wondering who I am. I am in Christ. I've been in Christed. I've been in Christed. I've been planted in him. I'm not wondering how life is going to go. I know that there will be challenges, but I know who's inside of me. And guess what we're going to do? Overcome that one and that one, just like we did the other ones, and then overcome that. Why? Because we have the word of God in us. We have the promises of God. And they never fail, ever. Romans 5:5 says this, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of what? Of who? God has been what? Poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us." Listen to the Living Bible. The last part of it says this: God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. The Bible in Basic English says this: and hope does not put to shame, because our hearts are full of the love of God through the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. The Passion Translation says this: and this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our heart through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You have an unending reservoir of love on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. What situation are you applying it to? How are you applying it to your thoughts? How are you applying it to your words? How are you applying it to your job situations? How are you applying that love to your relatives? How are you applying it to your siblings? Amen? When you walk in this kind of love, which you have plentioso, plenty, you have plenty of it. When you walk in this kind of love, when you walk and allow the love of God to flow through you in everything that you do, the Bible actually says you will never fail. I mean, we're just scratching the top. You understand what I'm saying? This goes way deeper. When you realize the power that lives inside of you to love, your problems will become minuscule. They'll disappear in a lot of areas. Come on, listen to me now. Depression will disappear when you walk in the love of God. Now, I'm not just saying that out of my own head. I said that by the Holy Ghost. People get so wrapped up in themselves that they don't look out and hear from the Lord on the inside. And everything becomes about them and self-focus. And when you get that mentality, when that's the way you function constantly in your mind, it's the natural course that your emotions and everything will follow into a place of selfishness and depression and feeling down. But when you begin to outward focus, when you begin to understand and you allow the Word of God to transform the way you think, and you begin to live out of the resurrection of Christ within you, those feelings and emotions will follow automatically, and they'll function in the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. The love of God is the most important thing. What is the most important thing that we can gather from this Romans 5:5 verse? We must realize that the love that is in us is the love of God. The realization that God's love is in us through the Holy Spirit is a truth that gives us the confidence and strength we need to walk through any difficulty. Listen to this carefully. I would not make this statement just out of my own head, but from studying this, I'll make it. There is not a situation that any Christian has ever faced that is greater than the love of God that is in them. Come on. Think about that. There is no situation that you are in that is greater than the love of God that is in you. Listen to this very carefully. We begin to weaken in our love walk when we try to love out of our minds or emotions. Listen to this. The more we associate love with something in the natural rather than God, the weaker our love walk will be. Come on, think about this now. If you are going to try to love somebody based on their performance to you, it is not going to last. You will become weak. You will become emaciated spiritually. Why? Because you don't have the capability just in your natural to love that person. You know, natural human love, there's nothing essentially wrong with it. It just will not cause a relationship to last. I don't care who you are. Come on. You have to have the love of God in those relationships. Otherwise, what will take place is the natural human love, the natural desires of the flesh, the natural thinking will begin to take over and your relationship will begin to weaken. Why? Because love is based on natural things, not based on God. See, the love of God is steady. I know when Heidi and I got married, before we got married, her dad would say this all the time. Love is a commitment. Love is a commitment. Now, you shouldn't think in terms of, yeah, I'm committed to him, I guess. I can't leave. That is not the love of God. Okay? God's not like, oh, that one, I just got to put up with them. That's not what it's talking about. It's a commitment because how many have noticed that your feelings can change? Your emotions can change. They can go up. You don't love out of your emotion. You love out of your heart, your spirit. And the love of God, when you understand it, will cause you to be steady and strong. How many would like to just be steady day after day? Not emotionally all over the place. Understand love. Realize it's in you. Let's look at one last passage here. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 22. You ready for this? Now, I've given you like six passages of scripture to prove that the love of God is in you. So don't come up to me after the service and tell me you can't love. Amen. You can. Now look, if you're going to look to how you feel rather than the Word of God to decide whether you can love or not, you're going to have a problem. How many have loved you? I've watched this happen so many times with teenagers because I was a youth pastor. You know, some girl get all whatever about a guy in the youth group. I just love them so much. Until they go to camp and see another kid from another part of the state. Now I love them so much. I can't live without them. And then they go back home and a new visitor comes to youth group and they love that person so much. That's natural human love. How many have noticed that? That's not the love of God. The love of God just stays steady. Amen. Steady. God's love is steady. It comes from the heart. All right. Galatians 5, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Now, I want to read this to you in the Passion Translation because I like the way it says it better. Because you guys know the rest of the verse that it goes on to talk about joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things. But I like the way the Passion Translation says it. It says, the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its various expressions. Boy, I like that. I thought, yeah. Because if God is, you know, okay, let me put it to you like this. God does not have love. He is love. I know sometimes that messes with our head a little bit. But think about it. God is not like conjuring up love. It's who he is. And now the Holy Spirit has shed who he is abroad in your heart. Do you know if you're a Republican, you can love a Democrat? Right? If you're a Christian, you can love an atheist the way God does. I mean, you think about it. God loves everybody. Now, people say, well, I mean, we don't tell them the truth. Oh, no, you speak the truth, but you speak it in love. Wait till we get into the characteristics of love. I'll just tell you this. It ate my lunch and popped the bag. And it took my lunch money for the next week. Because I realized I am way too weak in this area. I am going to change. By the grace of God, I'm going to become a lover like God. Amen? I'm going to do it. Why? Because it affects everything. And I'm not just saying that. Love, the love of God in our lives affects everything. Everything. So, divine love in all its various expressions. Then he says this, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails. Come on. An expression of the love of God is faith that prevails. I like that. Gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. I want all those things actively living in me daily. I want all those things operating in my marriage. I want all those things operating in my family, with my kids, in my job, in the church, in the leadership, in the congregation. I want all these things working. I want you to have joy that overflows. I want you to have peace that subdues, patience that endures. The days of saying, I don't have patience, are over. Because if you have the love of God, whose patience do you have? God's, do you think he's patient? Come on, none of us is dead yet. I mean, if I was God, I'd have blown it up a long time ago and started over. You understand what I'm saying? But we have that same love inside of us. A life of virtue, kindness in action, faith that prevails. Glory to God. Gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. We see here that the first fruit of the born-again human spirit is love. This is more evidence that we have God's love in us. A major key to walking in this love is to make sure that you are looking on the inside for the love and not to your circumstances, and definitely not to the person or persons around you. Right? How can I love this person in my life? They've always been a drag. They're always a this. They're always a that. With the love of God, all is possible. Amen? Stand with me, please. Well, you guys did good. We'll see if you liked it or not by next week. I ain't going back to that church. That guy talked about love. I only do it because I love you. You know what the truth of the matter is, guys? I don't even pick what I want to preach. God picks. How many think this message could help you right now? How many would like increased peace in your life? Increased victory, increased joy, increased rest. Not driving around all day in turmoil on the inside, but just peace. Oh, this is it right here. This is the one. Why? Is God enough in your situation? You need to ask yourself that question. Is God enough in my situation? Or am I looking to other things? Am I putting my expectation on other things? Come on. I cannot allow myself to think my peace of mind is conditional to how my wife treats me. I cannot. People say, well, that's not, this person's supposed to do this for me and that for me. And I read in the scripture. No. You're missing it. If you take this message and trying to apply it to someone else before you apply it to yourself, you're going to get in trouble. You better apply it to you first, Bubba. Come on. And make sure you do your part. God can take care of everybody else. You and God take care of you. Amen? And I'll guarantee you this. Spouse fights will reduce by a huge percent if you walk in this love. In fact, they'll reduce to nothing if you do it all the time. This is not an infomercial. I take that back. God guarantees that if each person takes their responsibility and walks in this love, the rest of that stuff will be gone. It'll leave. Why? Because love is patient and kind. Wow. Love believes God. And when you know how much God loves you, it doesn't really matter how much the other person hates you. I'm not just talking about spouses, okay? Come on, you don't even got to pay for this marriage counseling. Amen? And when mom and dad walk in love, guess what? The kids will follow. And peace will be in your life. Glory to God. How many want an increase of that love? Understanding of it. Let's pray and ask God, and then we'll be done. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. Lord, we take it seriously. Lord, we purpose to apply it daily. And Lord, when we miss it, and we will repent and go on. We're not going to sit and sulk and feel sorry for ourselves. We're just going to repent and go on. And Lord, by your grace and by your blood, we're cleansed, we're free, we're empowered to do what you've called us and to do, which is walk in love. So Lord, I ask and we ask together corporately that you give us more and more understanding of this love. And we know that as we do, Lord, your blessings will continue to increase in our lives. We expect, now you got to agree with me on this, guys. We expect to see increased manifestation of God in our lives as we walk in this love. Physically, financially, spiritually, in every way. We expect it. We say to you, Satan, take your hands off our families and off our stuff and off our sphere, our world, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that your word, that your angels are hearkening to the word of God and they're working on our behalf. That Holy Spirit, you are ministering life to your people and peace of mind and strength like they've not known before in knowledge of your love. And we believe you for it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Don't forget Wednesday night Bible study, 7 o'clock.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.